listener production.
Activate your internet, because the Hamish and Andy podcast starts in 3, 2... Sorry, still buffering. 1.
Ahoy, Haim.
Buenos dias, hombre, Andy.
It's exciting. Ahoy to you, Jack.
Don't keep your hopes up for the 4:45 in Espanol. Has he faltered already?
Has there been a recent spike in Spain for people uptake on the podcast?
I'd love to see the stats, because we do get the country breakdown, don't we?
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, the hunt and the call-out is still on for our one listener
in Tunisia.
Tunisia, so I was going to say Tanzania. Apologies, Tunisia.
Yep.
But there are now a bunch of countries I notice on that list that are uno listenarios, one listener countries.
Yes.
And
I imagine
when the borders open up again, which will be a joyous time when we can fly to the Asia Pacific region, because it will involve A, Jack's big ass coming into play, and B,
I cannot believe how long.
Yeah, I know.
The big weasel has managed to keep it at bay for a long time, and we can go. And maybe one day visit country by country the Unos Singulario Listenario tour. Right.
And by the time we're able to, I think your kids will probably be at school and you'll be allowed to go on some international journey.
They'll be off on that year 9 thing where they disappear for 2 months
to a camp.
Send them into the woods.
That's true. Ahoy also to Matt.
Ahoy, boys. Just calling from the projection room. The cinema I manage, a place where I'm sure Jack spent many of his air quote working hours consuming as much free cinematic content as he could. It's a very exciting day for us today with the release of the highly anticipated 3rd installment of the Lord of the Rings trilogy, Return of the King. Anyway, I better get to uploading this audio file before it starts, but I'm sure it'll be a breeze.
Okay,
and
that's
got
obviously
it in
a joke.
Under the decade average. Well done. No, a long and drawn out affair.
It's an easy to use system. HamishNeddy.com if you would like to upload
drag,
some
click,
audio.
Open, click, drag, browse, sleep, nap, eat, cry, reopen, reboot, get a new computer because it's outdated, reopen, reinstall, downloading, HNA.exe. Is this a virus? Could be. Scan, McAfee. Okay. It's a long process.
It's very easy, and he was joking when he said he was uploading it during the Lord of the Rings.
He didn't sound
release.
Like a joker. Although he did refer to Jack consuming cinematic content for free, which is an interesting code word.
He's right. I would watch some movies without paying for the ticket price, so guilty as charged. No further investigation necessary.
Cupping to the carjacking so they don't get you for the murder. The oldest trick in the book.
Haim, people would have been tuning in today to the podcast thinking they've done it.
Yeah.
They've gone down the emergency slide. The emergency slide party has happened. They've boarded a biggie from Rex. They've thanked Rex Airlines, now doing biggies, and off they went. Obviously, that's not the case. Well, obviously, we can say that's not the case.
Yeah. In fact, we did not. We have not slid.
No, due to the situation, COVID situation in Melbourne, we thought it better to perhaps not slide. It was going to be tough to get people from interstate in that are coming to slide.
That's true.
Haim, we should make an official announcement, I suppose, from our airlines.
Delay the slide party.
Yeah, I guess.
Not from Hamish. This is just remember too. We've done this on the show the other week when we were delaying the flights,
cancelling
the flights. Mm. This is Hamish and Andy Airlines, not Rex.
Not Rex. They're very much on time. But HNA Airlines having some problems.
Okay. This is the official announcement?
Of the 260-odd flights, we cancelled 259 of them or something.
And what was our flight number? 257?
254, I think.
254. 254, gotcha. If you
just
had
just because I
ticket.
Need it for the announcement.
Okay, of course. And they were hoping to take off this week. Jacko, take it away.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Just a little announcement for HNA Flight 254. If you're in the boarding lounge, I'd like you to stand up and sit down. Now stand up again, shake it out, Good. I know you've been waiting for quite some time. I've got some great news and some not so great news. The great news is, if you were worried that you didn't have time to buy a jar of macadamia nuts or a kangaroo fur wallet, certainly plenty of time left in your day to shop at the airport. In fact, plenty of time left in the week.
How much time?
Right, I'm just getting a few calls of how much time there. I'm not sure if that came across the mic. Well, here's the not so great news. We are going to kick back the old flight for a while. Certainly won't be today, I'll tell you that. And what are we in today? June. No, it's not going to be in June either. Probably we're sniffing July, late July, as I'm sure you can appreciate the guys up in the tower of all sorts of maths and stuff to do. I won't bore you with, but there is a lot of technicalities when it comes to planes. Probably late July, mid-July is what we're looking at. So, yeah, HNA Flight 254, heavily delayed, ferociously delayed. I guess we do biggies too. Big delays, not big flights. So, bit of a joke there to lighten the mood. Getting a few laughs at the desk here, but I understand it's an annoying sitch for you. So, I'll let you get on out to the cab rank. Thank you. Bong bong.
I'd love to walk into a airport and look up at the board and have ferociously delayed.
My God, ferociously. Please go to desk because you wouldn't believe this in signed form. You would have to get this in person. You won't believe it. You won't be able to believe it.
But Rex, still pumped up to do it all. Yes, sometime in July. We won't give you weekly updates. Nah. But it will pop up. And for those people that do have the tickets, we'll contact you direct.
Offline.
Hey, one other little bit of business. There was a problem with us having duty-free alcohol, like a strong tequila or something.
That was one of the main selling points, wasn't it?
And we're excited about opening up duty-free because you never get to do that.
Yeah, you don't get to open it on the plane.
Difficult for us to go, yeah, that's all right, we'll definitely drink it responsibly. I think that was the concern from Melbourne airports who are doing an amazing job and Rex on.
Because the whole point of duty-free is you're not buying the traditional sensible one sitting consumption amount.
No.
You're buying 3 litres of rum. That's the whole point of duty free. You're trying to buy like 2 months' worth.
Yes.
In a day.
So I understand why they wouldn't want that. But should we do a cologne? Is that the. What's the next.
Oh, okay.
What is the next openable thing?
Toblerones.
Big Toblerones.
Huge Toblerones. Toblerones and M&Ms, I feel.
You can still take them on the plane, Kate. You don't have to lock away the Toblerones. I think
duty free ones.
No, you don't.
They go.
I think it's just something you see.
They're pretty harsh on it, actually. I've been eating one of the triangles of the 9 kilo block, and so the triangle's like quite heavy, about the size of an iron.
Frisbee,
and about as heavy as an iron per triangle. And they'll go, "Where'd you get that?" Like, no, I got it at Shell on the way in. My Uber stopped for petrol. No, it didn't, mate, because you can only get the 9 kilo at duty free. So you're going to have to pay the extra, you know, because it's about, was it $550 a bar? So you have to pay the extra $70, mate, tax.
So we're putting in big Toblerones in the duty free thing and maybe some cologne?
And M&Ms too. M&Ms, do you guys get the vibe that M&Ms?
The Toblerone and the M&Ms are duty-free.
But it's an airport food. It's an excitement.
I don't think the excitement. I think people...
Well, what do you want to see? Sip on a cologne?
No, just spray it.
But are we so stinky in there if we're all spraying a cologne?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, you're coming down pretty heavy on the Toblerone. Hands up if you're excited to spray it for Andy's perfume party.
I'd rather a Toblerone and M&M's.
My point is not...
Oh, wow. Andy's not... Sorry, guys. No big Toblerones. We've all got Dior Sauvage. What a treat.
No,
and you're the face of Andy by Hamish. So pull your head in, mate.
My point is... I don't think you would ever open a duty-free bag for a Toblerone. I just don't think they
would. Would you for a perfume? That's the thing you can get for free.
People do it.
They go and get free tests. If you're smelling it on the plane, they've had the tester.
So what is the next thing you put in? What's the next thing you put in duty free?
But no one's desperate on a flight to get their perfume out. That's one thing that you can put in the bag and be happy to use it when you're going to an event when you're back
home. Sorry, Andy. Okay. Maybe this is a pointy end versus back end kind of thing, but back there, mate, we're not wafting perfume, okay? We're eating Toblerone.
We'll pick this up.
Polishing pearls and spraying perfumes.
Haim, announcement was made in my family during the week. It's been hotly anticipated. I mean,
done. Congrats. You are the proud father of a bouncing, soon to be tall, I hope, baby terrier.
Yes. There was a mix of emotion on my Instagram with people saying, thought it'd be taller, or others going, I can see the potential for growth.
Well, let's address the non-giraffe in the room thus far. That thing is not grazing the roof yet.
No.
I have full faith it's going to be the world's tallest terrier. That's how it was advertised to the people.
No, you have
roll up, see the tallest terrier in the world. Was certainly, that message was put out and about, and I think you can still deliver on that. So I'm just assuming that it's sort of like, you get an invasive grass species or something. That
the tallest man in the world didn't come out that tall when he was a baby.
And the dog, from what we hear, is going to be quite a lot taller than that. So
yeah.
you've got a couple, I mean, couple of days, maybe some weeks leeway before you start needing to find another residence.
Well,
you don't want it to get a sore neck.
No, true. I regret ordering a semi-trailer to go and pick it up.
Yeah.
Felt very silly.
Especially adapted horse float.
When I got out there and it was the size of a shoebox.
Because can you hear its neck growing at night, or is it more has it started to kick in yet? Because you will, I imagine, with the amount of growth that is required for that thing, for its neck and legs to start getting up to where we had been led to believe it would be, sort of MCG light pylon height. You'll hear it audibly. You'll hear the bones shifting and the ligaments stretching.
So the lady that we picked the dog up from, or I picked the dog up from, someone had told her that, she'd mentioned, Andy's coming to pick up the dog. And she's like, they said, it's a tall terrier. And she was very confused because she's not a podcast listener. So when I got there, I got a small speech about how it's not the tallest terrier. And I was I was like, yes, that's okay. It's just a joke. That she goes, well, he needs
not to. Really, Joe, you told us it was a very tall terrier.
No, it's taller than the smallest terrier.
Andy, don't make us dig through the archives. We've become sort of the Ripley's Believe It or Not of podcasts based on the attraction of this dog being associated with the show.
I thought that's why it was taking so long to get it, because it was rare.
They were trying to catch it. It was galloping through the forest, kicking down trees.
There are numerous scientists working away on how to breed it properly.
And people on the phone going, those cages from Jurassic Park, were they a joke or could... could we get one?
Anyway, we'll see.
Is it a bit like having something from Jurassic Park in the house? Like, do you have a special cupboard with like a taser in it in case it gets just too much and it starts swinging its neck around, kicking over cars?
It's a regular puppy height.
It seems docile now.
At this stage, yes.
You're right.
And I'd always said to Beck, yes, you can get a dog, but it's not allowed on the couch. That was one of the big things.
Right.
Within 30 minutes of being home, it was on the couch
sleeping on the dog
with one of my beers. It was just
smoking.
doing whatever it was.
That's the kicker.
The other thing, and Jack, you would have gone through this when you got Luna.
Mm.
I didn't realize, how old was Luna when you picked her?
I think 10 weeks.
10 weeks, yeah. Didn't realize owning a dog is a full-time game of where's the poo.
Where's the wee, where's the poo, the poo's
our dog's weeing on the mat, which is amazing.
Already
finding that and weeing on the mat, but the poos, they can be anywhere.
You don't know where they are.
No.
You can smell them. I'm sure you can smell them.
Thankfully,
I'd say that's probably the difference between a dog and a baby. At least with the baby, you know where it is. You get a little net that they wear. It's called a nappy.
yeah
It's mostly with a baby, the game is when's the poo?
Yes.
So you get a lot of, you get very excited, about the poo schedule, yes. But you know where it is.
Yes.
Where but much different game much with different the dog.
Game. This is where and when to a certain extent, but sure. Where's more.
So it's sort of like when My Kitchen Rules, MasterChef, same show, like slightly different format.
Hey, a special skill has come forth. It's from Kyle. He writes.
It's in an interesting area. People will know.
We're reticent to go back to this area of special kill, but he writes, if you can give me a Star Wars quote, I can name the character that said it. You literally don't understand how invested I am in Star Wars. I'm planning on naming my firstborn child Obi after the old and wise Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah.
Look, he's very into Star Wars.
We get it. We've heard passion before.
And when we brought this up in the meeting, Jack went, oh, I think a lot of people know Star Wars. So we're making it deliberately at a level of difficulty that would be impressive. Kyle joins us now. Ahoy to you, Kyle.
Ahoy, boys.
Ahoy, Kyle. Give us some of your stats. How well do you know Star Wars? How deep, apart from possible future baby names, how deep are you into the universe?
Well, I've got a bit of a collection at home, helmets and all that, all the geeky stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I've been watching it. I grew up on it pretty much.
Yep. Are you worried about being the Simpsons guy here?
I have been contemplating that a lot since I've made the statement, but I'm confident.
What's a great, if someone from Star Wars was there with you right now encouraging you to take the leap and face your fears, who's the character and what line would they say to you from the movie?
I'd have to go Emperor Palpatine. In number three, and he'd say, do it.
All right. That's all he said.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. In some of the deleted scenes, you do see him at his kid's Auskick taking his son to gymnastics and stuff on the weekend, just yelling that kind of stuff. So he keeps his sideline advice short, Senator Palpatine, Emperor Palpatine, but he gets the message across.
Okay, so
just do it.
The way this is, no, not just do it, that's Nike's head.
Sorry. Sorry about that.
Yeah, but do it.
Bold of George Lucas not to take the cash on offer to sell one of the lines.
Here's how it's going to work, Kyle. We are going to say a phrase, a quote from the movie. We'd love you to tell us the character and then obviously what Star Wars episode it's from. What do you have? There's five we've got, Ham. How many do you need? Four from five?
You got to get four. I think you need four from five.
Okay.
And also, just throwing it out there, like, if you come home of a night, Carl, and you go, oh, what's on? Like, you have the normal Netflix, kind of just scrolling, thinking, will you just always reach for a Star Wars episode?
Yeah, definitely. Number three, that's my go-to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know. All right, let's jump into this.
So match the quote with the character, Carl, that we have picked from a Star Wars. And don't be the Simpsons guy, please, Carl. Let's hope your performance is not piss poor.
We want to hear good, crisp Star Wars knowledge here of a very impressive level. Here we go. Quote number one, I will be reading the line, you need the character, you need to give us character, you need to give us the Star Wars episode. Okay, here's the quote. Split up and head back to the surface. See if you can get a few of those TIE fighters to follow you.
I know exactly what
Star Wars.
If you
I know the franchise. Split up and head back to the surface. See if you can get a few of those TIE fighters to follow you.
I know Han Solo's involved, but I'm trying to think of who said it.
So do you think someone's saying this to Han Solo?
I believe so.
What episode do you think?
I'm going to say it's number five, and I'm pretty sure Luke wasn't with him. So it'd be...
someone.
Lando?
Oh!
Hey, he's got it. Lando comes in. It's episode six is Return of the Jedi.
Oh.
But I think we're going to give it. We said he
we'll give you
this. The character. He said, name the state. He said, Give me a Star Wars quote and I'll tell the character that said it. He doesn't say...
Oh, okay, you didn't say the episode. Fine, yeah, we're away. I mean, it's the start. I feel like it's more of a standing start bike race than a rolling start here. Like, yep. You know, hop, 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 wobble, but both feet are on now and you're pedaling and we're away. We'll give you that. I'll give you that.
Awesome.
Did he stall long enough to Google?
Good question. Kyle,
Kyle, it had the feeling to me like there was a lot of, I don't know, it's between 4 and 6 and you're waiting for a cough in the crowd.
Yeah.
Like that millionaire cheat.
Didn't cross my mind, but now it's been brought up, Kyle, I can't unthink that. So, what can you tell us to guarantee you didn't do that?
I'm going to be honest. I was just talking to Mike and I said, I'm at my first midwife appointment for Obi.
Oh, right. So you...
And I've just walked outside and I'm just on the phone. I don't have any other technology around me, if you can believe that.
Oh, well, absolutely. Appreciate you stepping out of...
So you've missed the first ultrasound of Obi.
An important baby appointment to play the game.
Let's hope charge back in there with a coin. Thus relegating Obi to being the second most important thing in the room.
Okay, number two. I will talk with her. Senator Amidala will not refuse an executive order. I know her well enough to assure you of that.
That has to be Anakin.
It's your favourite guy, Palpatine.
Oh, you're joking.
Also favourite for Do It.
Yeah, long before he was the Emperor, yelling out Do It, he was obviously a bit wordier. In his later years, he just had shorter messages. No, yeah, that's your best mate.
I was so confident.
Yeah, you were.
That can happen when you're dealing with the dark side. Okay, here we go. Who says this? So we could slip down to the surface unnoticed and hide till the First Order passes.
First Order, so obviously one of the later movies, 7 and 9. I'm trying to think, is that when Poe Damon gives up?
I think he says Poe Dameron according to Mike, but Poe Damien is kind of funny. Sounds like too much, Jeff contestants.
I'm going to go Poe Damien. When he gives up at the end.
If you tell me his full name without getting it wrong, you can have it.
Poe Dameron.
Okay.
We're wobbling through here. We're 2 from 3, but everyone would know that this is a sloppy race, but you're still somehow in it.
Mm.
You're somehow driving it. You've still got the lead in Formula One, but one of your wheels is off.
Okay, good luck. Charming to the last. You don't know how hard I found it signing the order to terminate your life.
Signing the order to terminate your life. I'm guessing he's referring to Order 66. So that'd be...
Do you know how busy they were that day with orders? if they'd already done 50, 65 orders that day.
Yeah, and they were telling people to take a little ticket.
Sorry, I've just got an executive order here to terminate someone's life. Mate, everyone's busy. Grab a ticket.
A ticket. 141.
Yes, that's to destroy a planet. Yep, sure, mate. And just do you want Ewoks destroyed with that?
Yeah, sure.
back to the game. Who said
I've always
got
two in the head, so it's either Kylo Ren, but I don't want to say the Emperor again.
Okay. Let's play this one for him, Jack.
Oh, really? No, that's too easy.
Go for it.
Charming to the last. You don't know how hard I found it signing the order to terminate your life.
So we know
that's Moff Tarkin.
It's Moff Tarkin.
That's Tarkin.
Do we know who was standing next to him?
Yeah.
That was Darth Vader.
Yeah, so you're correct, but I mean...
That was given
I wonder why.
Because he was about to get it wrong. I mean, we're not giving you a coin today.
I think we're not giving you a coin here, Carl, but just so you've stepped out of your baby's first ultrasound for something, let's go to the end here, and if you succeed, you will win a token of no value.
Yeah.
Which is a special thing for the child to have as they come into the world. If you can get the last one, just in case there's anybody that's enjoying playing along.
Yep.
Here we go. Last one. Your focus determines your reality. Stay close to me and you'll be safe. No thinking time. Go. Who says that?
Luke.
Sounds like you just...
Luke who?
Luke Skywalker.
Okay, Luke Johnson. He works in the... He works with the rebels. He repairs the ships. No, that's Qui-Gon Jinn.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Oh, Qui-Gon, Liam Neeson.
Yeah. Liam Neeson, yeah.
Yes.
It's not the Simpsons guy.
Yeah, the Simpsons guy. You guys watched a ton of Star Wars, but the problem is it's just so much in there.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep. It's a tough thing, but you
who's
said
he talking
you could
to
do
there?
It.
Who's Qui-Gon Jinn talking to there?
It'd be Obi-Wan. So you and McGregor.
Anakin. No, Anakin Skywalker. Young Anakin.
Yeah.
I'm not happy with myself.
No, Carl, hey, go back in and
but
try
that is from
and...
Star Wars Episode 1, the most disappointing of the Star Wars. So yeah. it's kind of fitting that you're disappointed.
Mm. Would you agree with that, Carl?
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah.
Number one is pretty poor.
Carl, head back in and make sure you don't miss any more of that important baby consultation. But just don't ever say that you can do that again. Star Wars quote and that you can name a character that said it.
When Obi is old enough, you can take them aside to he or she, probably about age 7 or 8, you can sit down and go, I want to show you a world called Star Wars. Mm. Now, do you know something? Your dad, you know, people think that your dad can name any character who says the quote. They're wrong. He can't. He tried. He can't. He
can't do it.
On your mate. He still loves you.
Thanks so much. Good luck.
Cheers,
good
luck, boys.
Mate. Have a ball.
Well done.
May your Obi have the Force.
Hey, there's a little bit of tidying up we had to do from what we called our producer last week to follow up some people.
Yep.
First one was the star rating for food.
Yes, you're looking into that.
The health star rating.
You said that it was self that the health the stars, or you said you'd heard that the stars, when you give yourself a health star rating for it, it's against others in that category.
In that category. So we said that can't be right. We reached out to the health star people. They do not want to come on.
I'm not letting this go because I think they know that we're the only people in the industry with the guts to call them out, to go, who's making up the stars? Why isn't old El Paso playing? Why aren't other companies playing?
Yep.
Who's opting in? Why are people opting out? Why are people opting in? Mm. Why would you opt in if you're a one-star product? What a ridiculous thing to do.
They don't want to play. So I don't know where that leaves us, but we've tried many angles. Let that one, but someone who does want to play, let's put that aside.
Let's let that one go for now, but I don't want it to be a Peter out.
No.
Let's keep it on a simmer.
If someone works in there and we get one of that funny little vocoder thing so we can disguise their voice, we'd love a deep throat. We'd love hit us up.
Someone from deep within the galaxy of the stars.
Yeah.
The star
the health star.
From the center of the universe of the health stars.
Yeah, we promise that you will remain anonymous.
Best we can.
Don't put that.
Covering all bases.
I know what you were doing.
Just in case we accidentally go, all right, there you go. Pete Jennings. I mean, Bob Smennings.
It's pre-recorded.
As best we can, you'd have to be confident that we can do it very well. No, we're rock solid.
Haim, someone who did was keen to come forth, and this is led by you. Very exciting. We were working, how can the Hamish Hennedy Show get into the digital space?
We've had a few stutter steps. We bought Bitcoin at $900. Huge success. Lost passwords in the interim. Yep. Huge failure. Bought Bitcoin again. Yep. Jack, Bitcoin Weasel, bought Manycoin.
Yep.
Lost password again. Huge failure.
Yes.
So I think our scorecard at the moment in the crypto digital world is we have stuttered and faltered.
Yes.
And we were like, okay, let's do it properly this time. Let's get in on something at the ground level. We floated the idea of these things called NFTs, non-fungible tokens, which essentially is a digital way to say you own something.
Yep.
We were pondering that when something else came across our radar.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the world of NFTs, but it's a ZED horse.
Yes.
We don't know what Z stands for, but the way we understand it is you can buy digital racehorse. Yep. It exists just as code, but it races against other horses and can win you real money.
Yep.
You buy these with Ethereum. Andy, well done to you. Mm. Think You were calling them delirium coins. about a week ago. 2 weeks ago, you were calling them deliriums. Now we own just over 4 Ether.
Yep.
We own just over 4 Ether coins. So we're riding high. We're ready to go. We want to buy a horse, and we've got someone on the line that can help us.
And before we get to him, I must say, when we'll jump in through a lot of hoops, Jacko, to set up this digital wallets. Someone from tech support contacted me with a little ahoy, Andy. Yeah. Great to see. And so they're listening. They know who they are, and their name's Leah. Anyway,
we'll protect their identity as best we can.
Chris Ebbs Ebling joins us now, creative director and co-founder of the Virtually Human Studios. Zed Racing is your baby. Ebbs, welcome to the show. Ahoy to you.
Ahoy, guys. Great to hear you both together again. I love it.
Thanks,
Ebbs. Well, we are very excited to wade into the digital horse ownership world. Mm. We have some ether in our pocket, burning a hole in our digital wallet. We hope not, because we hope that wallet is secure. Can you explain how does this work?
Okay, so you need Ethereum first. And then you do need a MetaMask wallet, which is your online browser wallet.
This is where we get worried. Right, this is where we start worrying, because we lose passwords.
You've done it before, I've heard.
Yeah, poorly.
You get a password tattooed on your arm or something, or down your inner thigh.
But then someone will know to kidnap one of us.
Yeah.
We probably need to get a password tattooed on heaps of us. Everyone in the team, but only one of them is the real password.
And even then we'll forget who's got the real one.
We'll just kidnap you all.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
This made us all a target. Okay, Ebbs, we get ourselves a wallet.
Yep. Yes, you get MetaMask. So MetaMask wallet is an online wallet that allows you to use your Ethereum online. So you get that, you link that up, you're going to transfer your Ethereum from wherever you have it stored now, mm-hmm. whether it's an online exchange or a wallet or a ledger, and you're going to transfer it over there in your MetaMask wallet. Now, I'll just tell you about how we sell horses. I said we used to sell them on the marketplace. So if you were an early adopter 2 years ago, you could actually just go in and pick a horse at random and take your time and pick the color you want and pick the Z type you want. So they're all different Z types, which are linked to bloodlines.
Wow.
So we have Z1 to Z10. Yeah, it's pretty advanced. So all these horses have a really advanced algorithm in them, which is a black box for the user to uncover. And based on if you have bought a Z1, which is a Nakamoto bloodline, or a Z10, which is a Buterin bloodline. These are all named after crypto founders, by the way. Just a little Easter egg. Lore there.
Cool.
So there's an Easter egg. There's an Easter egg. There's an Easter egg in a black box. There's so many layers. There's a little yolk, little exciting center of the Easter egg there that lives inside the black box.
Yeah.
No, so this actually does make sense. This is what I found in my research too. So to create, because what it seems like you guys have done is set up, you know, you're basically trying to recreate the way genetics works in real horses, which is by setting up bloodlines that then when you start into breeding, you of course don't know what you're going to get 7 or 8 generations down the track. Like no one's looking, you know, back at Farlap going, oh, we can predict what horse will come out in 1960. Like you just have to wait for the generations to breed.
Correct. Absolutely. And so we're only going to sell 38,000 of these Genesis racehorses. So there's 38,000 OGs or originals. Mm-hmm. And then once they're out in the ecosystem, the rest is just going to be spawned off the user's breeding. So what we're trying to establish here, or what we've established so far, is an ecosystem. We have sold 11,000 horses to date, but there's like, I think there's 18,000 out there. So there's 7,000 bred.
So there's still thousands of wild Brumbies just walking around that we could and make one of our racehorses.
Absolutely. So if you want to get one of the originals, there's two ways to get them.
Okay.
Either you wait for a drop, which we do. We sell them as drops now because that's the in thing. It creates hype. It creates FOMO. It's an event. It's exciting. Mm-hmm. So we'll pick a date soon, by the way, and there will be a drop set on a date, set on a time. You'll get sent a link in you go, and then it's a free for all. It's like a Black Sun. It's like a, what's it called? Black Friday.
Oh, right.
It's like a sales event.
So everyone's sitting there waiting for the doors to open, and we're just going to go in and trample security guards and grab ourselves
and
a horse.
Try and catch a horse as it drops before it hits the digital floor.
Exactly. It's mental.
Obviously, when you talk about there's two ways, we want the cheaper and sneakier way, please. Like, how do we get to the front of the queue of the drop? What if we're not waiting for a drop? What's the other way?
Well, then the other way is going on the secondary market, which is places like OpenSea, and OpenSea is an NFT marketplace where everybody sells pretty much any NFT. And here you can find a horse.
How much the horse set you back?
Ooh, so a Z10 in the last drop went for around $150.
Oh,
so
great. I thought you were about to say
$150. Okay, mate, we are out. We are out.
No. So, and a Z1 went for $32,000.
Wow.
We ideally would like to get in at the Z1 level.
Yeah.
So when it drops, is it an auction? Is it the people bidding against each other to buy these horses as they drop?
No, it's first come, first serve.
Okay.
So if we are there at the drop, it's a flat fee for a Z1 horse, for the best horse, is it?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And it's just click as fast as you can.
Okay. This is pretty much making sense. Can I just ask one thing with regards to, a lot of people ask about horse racing? Can we guarantee the safety of the digital horses?
Yes, you can.
Okay, great.
I mean, we have been joking around, like, you know, there are some horses out there performing like donkeys, and we joked around about creating a VR experience where you can take them out the back and perhaps...
Well, no, you know. The great thing about these horses is they can run 20 races a day. They absolutely love it because they're code.
Well, can that happen, Ebs?
Well, yes, they can. At the moment, they are being run like that, but we are implementing a fatigue factor, which is coming soon as well.
Interesting.
Yes. So digital horses do get tired.
Let's say we own a horse. We obviously can't buy a Z1. Maybe we end up with a Z3 or something, right, for our troubles.
Yeah.
Once we've got the horse, how do we get it in races? Mm.
To get a horse in a race is pretty simple. So you go on the platform, you have a stable, you go through the race, look at events, and you'll see what events are up and coming, what are some that are ready to go. So there's live events. There's about 1,000 races a day right now.
Wow.
And do we have to nominate our horse to go in a race? Or does it
exactly.
just... We do.
Exactly. You get to choose. And so you got to watch the field, survey the field. And there's a lot of tactics and strategy involved there. And what you have to do at this stage is figure out what your horse is best at. Because there's sprints, 1,000 meters.
Running.
Yeah.
Dan says he's a good cook.
Yeah, he's a good cook.
Like, I like the idea. I mean, I think part of the thrill for people in the real world when they, you know, get a share in a horse or something is like, you know, Prince of Penzance, who won the Melbourne Cup, you know, a few years ago, was famously like just bought by a bunch of mates. Like, we knew one of the guys. One of our mates has a 2% share or 5% share, and it costs like $1,000 or $2,000. Yeah. Then next thing you know, the horse is winning the Melbourne Cup. Is there a chance that you can buy a Z8 horse? So not one of the premium horses, but it just turns out to be an absolute champion?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. There's some bred horses out there that are beating Z1s. And some monsters out there because of their lineage, right? You can trace back their blood type, their lineage, and where they come from. And if they come from really strong racers, just like in the real world, they have some like super DNA that's been mixed together. And there's some amazing websites out there. So when you do get into racing, check out the community. They've built all these algorithm, like these data websites where you can actually look up your horse and see where it fares best. They've done all the heavy lifting for you. And then, you know, you can quickly figure out and strategize around that.
I like that idea because so it just becomes like just regular horse racing. It's like, you know, this should do well, but you just don't know on the day.
Exactly. Anything can happen, right?
Ebs, we are going to listen out for when that next drop is.
Are we going in the drop, Ander?
We'll go in the drop, and I also want to...
Come in the drop.
I'd like to get one from the drop, and I'd like to also get one bred, just so we can see how both go.
All right.
And then... What we'll do is we'll have a crack at that, Ebs, and then we'll get you back on.
All right.
And you can tell us novices how we fared with what we bought for how much and tell us whether we stuffed it or whether we're on the right track.
Now, just before we let you go, 1,000 races a day at the moment in the Z horse racing world, which we are now very keen participants of.
Yeah.
What sort of prize money are we talking per race?
Well, so that depends. There's $2 buy-ins up to $500. And so, you know, 12 gates to $500, that's a big pool.
Love it. So you could be walking away with a few grand in some of those Group 1 races.
Yeah, there's some people that are horses out there, they've already made 30 grand on their horses, like 30 grand back. Like, it's insane because they just race them.
We look forward to losing that and giving it to those type of people. It seems to be the way we go with this crypto stuff. But, Ebs, thanks very much for your time, mate.
You're welcome.
Cheers, buddy.
Thanks for having me.
See you at the races.
Hey, and there's been so many coming in, so it's time to do this. Our quest continues to find every single power move there is to give you the upper hand in social situations. This one came in from Chris Harden, Canada.
Lovely. I thought we would be done by now, but I feel like it honestly feels like we're just scratching this.
I agree.
Feels like every week more and more avenues open up to us.
This one is not an arsehole move, which is a welcome relief.
Gone are the days where we thought it'd be 50-50, isn't it? Yeah. Nowadays, it's just, we can't believe what we're finding. This is, here we go, a tiny oasis of legend move in the desert of arsehole moves. Yes.
As a person who hosts online Zoom meetings a lot, I'm constantly asked to share my screen. So I've changed the names of the tabs at the top of my screen to say quantum physics, charity work, donations. So all the tabs across whenever you shoot, so it looks, of course, to the class like I'm the most intelligent, generous person in the world.
Very good. This one is an asshole move. It comes in from Emily. When you're the lead driver in a convoy of cars, keep switching lanes. The cars following you will have no choice but to switch lanes with you. Even if they realize what you're doing, they're forced to keep following in case you need to make a turn. And I especially like that one, Emma, because I know how much it would annoy you if you caught on to what was happening. I feel like if I did that four times, you'd try something. I don't know what it would be, but you'd try something.
It's so true. James Forster writes in here, Ham.
Yep.
He says, power move, ideal in social gatherings, particularly when I'm talking to strangers or loose acquaintances.
Okay.
If they ever happen to ask how my work is going, I always respond with, good, but I could use a new PA.
Would not lie.
Exactly. Obviously, it makes him appear superior, indicates that he had a PA, but he's looking for a new one. Very good, James.
Very, very nice. And look, I know we've had a few in this region. It's to do with the toilet.
Okay.
And someone going off to the toilet. I believe in the first Power Moves book, we've got when someone goes, excuse me, I just need to go to the toilet, then they're leaving the table at a restaurant. You say, number ones or twos, you do a wee or poo, just to put them on the spot, because having to answer that information
is unfair.
Is in itself a low status position to be in. Yeah. I don't think we've had this exact one. It made me giggle. It comes in from Michael. If you're in a group and someone has gone to the toilet, when they come back, so let's say at a restaurant, take the opportunity to loudly say, gee, that took a while. Did you poo again? Is that number four for today? Showing that they've got an unusually high
frequency
procession of poos coming out for the day.
That's great. Bailey from the UK, Ham. This is a text message-based power move.
Okay.
Whenever someone, friend or not, sends a link in a group text chat, immediately claim the link has a virus and tell everyone not to click on it.
Yeah, really good. Really good. Okay, I've got one more here. I have a bit of a toss-up here. I think I'm going to go for Matt.
Okay.
Appreciate you writing in, Matt. Matt works in a hospital. He's a wardsman, which I don't know what, I mean, it gives you is that the head of the ward or is it just someone that works on the ward?
I don't know.
I think because it sounds like swordsman.
It just sounds really cool.
It just sounds awesome. Yeah,
exactly.
So he's a wardsman.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes he goes, sometimes when I see a nurse I've met before, but I'm not too close with, I'll say to them, well, if it isn't my sixth favourite nurse. This gives them the satisfaction of being in the top 10, but the disappointment that they're not number one. This makes them want to try harder to move up the ladder. And we know the sting, that double-edged sword sting of having a number six in the team.
Yeah.
Six hurts. But when, Jack, I mean, you're six in the loyalty cards and we sent out 29,990 of those.
Yeah, nearly 30,000.
So you know you're enormously close to the top, yep. But six still hurts.
Yes, but in the immediate team, I'm very low status.
Yes. What an honest way to end.
Hey everyone, Mike here, just popping in at the end to once again remind you that the Remembering Project Season 2 is out every Monday. You can get it wherever you get this podcast, and Season 1 is all there for you to binge as well. Here's a little tease from this week's episode where we look back at some of the mischief the boys would cause in the office.
We used to do a lot of things and a lot of pranks and sometimes just annoy our office workers. We did an automated service from the company saying, this year for Christmas, you've got the opportunity to give the money to charity or collect a hamper. What would you like, charity or hamper? And then we just played that to different employees and they're going, hamper.
Hamper. And then we're like, beep, I think you said charity.
No, hamper.
No, hamper. Like, you have selected charity. And then we had Joe, man, just Joe's going, I said hamper. I want my hamper.
Go and check it out, guys. The Remembering Project Season 2 is out every Monday, wherever you podcast. Season 1, all there as well. We will catch you next week on the main pod.
Thanks for listening. The Hamish and Andy podcast will return next week. Catch up or contribute at hamishandandy.com.
Listener.